Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your speaker is Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas. The Good News Hour brings you another message from the Holy Scriptures. And I should like to read some two or three passages, perhaps even more, so that if you have your Bibles handy, you can turn these up with us or make a notation and read them at your leisure and when you have a little time to go over them and to ponder them in the light of God's holy presence. Shall we read then, first of all, from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, and as we have frequently pointed out, this is the one and the only gospel epistle. Now, reading at verse 1, we have this word, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And so the last part of that verse properly belongs in third verse. It's the end of the third verse. And so it is simply, "There is therefore now no condemnation or no judgment to them that which are in Christ Jesus." And then in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Now I should like to ask you to look at the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, and about verse 6, where we read this most interesting statement, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And then I want you to think now of a passage in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, and about verse 25, and this is how it reads, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Now what I would like to have you see in the passages that we have read, in the first portion, we have what the law cannot do. And then in the second portion, we have what the sinner cannot do. And certainly that must appeal to all our hearers, because you know the Word of God distinctly declares that all sin and come short of the glory of God. Sinners we are by nature, and sinners by practice. And then in the last portion we read to you, we have clearly stated what our Savior can do, what he is able to do. And oh, how cheering it is to one's heart to know that while the Word of God does plainly point out that the law cannot save a sinner, the law, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "I have given you the law, and none of you keepeth it." And then in the second portion, we saw what the sinner cannot do. And we are declared there as being ungodly and, of course, without strength. Now, in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, then, as well as other portions of the Word of God, of course, we are sure that God's law is holy, but that holy law cannot save a sinner. That holy law never has saved a son or a daughter of Adam's race. And I think perhaps someone might be saying, "Well, then, what is the purpose of the law?" Well, I'll tell you. The purpose of the giving of the law was in order that sin might be magnified, that sin might be given its true character. And if you were to put yourself under that holy law today, just read it carefully, begin right at the very first, where we have in the first four commandments the full measure of man's responsibility to God, and the last six commandments our full measure of responsibility to our fellow man. And you would have to admit that you have failed. And you know, there are those who take a little comfort in the fact that they have never murdered, they've never committed adultery, and perhaps never stolen, and therefore think because some of these commandments that are, so to speak, outstanding in a special way, and because I haven't been an offender in that respect, then I must have a standing before God. But this is not true. For James tells us in his epistle, "If ye offend in one point, ye are guilty of all. So that if you have broken the very least commandment, you are an offender. And I am sure there isn't a person living today who has had in his heart or her heart perfect love to God. Oh no, we're at enmity with Him by nature. And there's no love in our hearts naturally to the Son of God. And before there can be real love to our God, it has to be implanted by the Holy Spirit of God. And then you think of another commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and you know that you have failed in this respect. And furthermore, the Word of God says, thou shalt not covet, and who of my hearers today has not at some time or another coveted what was not your own? Therefore, says James, if ye offend in one point, then ye are guilty of all. And so the purpose of the law then, as we have already suggested, and as the Word of God so clearly points out, it was in order that sin might be magnified, in order that the sinner might see just exactly how far short he has come. And if you are honest, honest before God, and honest according to the precious truth that's set forth in the Epistle to the Romans and in the Epistle to the Galatians, you'd have to say, well, I haven't met the full measure of that holy standard. Consequently, I am a sinner before God. And so far as the law is concerned, then, it is out. The law is helpless to reach you. The law is helpless to save you. And what you need is a Savior. You need the Savior. Then we also pointed out in that same fifth chapter of Romans, and about the sixth verse, for when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. So that while it is true the law cannot save you, you cannot save yourself. You cannot help save yourself. And if you faced up to the two portions that we have read to you and have been in some little measure stressing, I'll tell you what you do. You throw your hands up in horror and say, well, blessed Lord, then I am, so far as I'm concerned, thrown upon my own resources. I am helpless and I am hopeless. And what I need and what I must have is a Savior. And that, of course, comes outside of myself altogether. And what a delight it is to be able to turn away from oneself and to turn to the precious, holy Son of God. Now, just a moment, in the Epistle of James, he tells us there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Now, he did not say there is a law that is able to save. He simply says there is a lawgiver which is able to save and able to destroy. Now, I want you to think of my last portion for just a little bit. The seventh chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews and verse 25, which says, wherefore he is able. And we would like, if it were possible, to have you look off today unto Jesus, to look at that blessed one who pleased God in his life. Every step of his journey was to the pleasure of God. And he was never more pleasing to God than when he was upon Calvary's cross, lifted up between the heavens and the earth, and unfit, as it were, for heaven, and earth would not have him. And yet a holy God laid upon him the sins of us all. And I want you to think just for a moment of that blessed one. And before he ever could be able to save, then he himself must pay the penalty before the sinner and the surety together may go free. And we're glad to tell you that he did not set aside the claims of that holy law. The Lord Jesus met it in every detail, every commandment from the very first right to the last were fulfilled in the blessed Son of God. And he took the curse and paid the penalty for sinners. He paid the penalty for you, and that law that you had broken, he satisfied God in your behalf and in my behalf, so that you might enjoy today the forgiveness of sins, that you might enjoy today present and eternal salvation. And it is my purpose, if I can, to turn your gaze away from yourself because you cannot save yourself, you cannot help save yourself. And we'd like to turn you away today for just a moment from the Ten Commandments, the holy law of God, the moral law, because what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, or the righteous requirements of the law, might be fulfilled in us. Ah, blessed be God. He is an able Savior. He's an all-sufficient Savior. And we'd like to turn your gaze to that blessed One today. And if you have had doubts in your mind, if you've been looking in the wrong direction, if you've been thinking that you had to keep the law, or if you have been thinking that you had to make up somehow by way of your works or efforts to please a holy God, to put away your guilt and your sin, we say to you today, looking off unto Jesus, ah, yes, thank God for the man Christ Jesus who glorified God and who pleased Him in life and pleased Him in death, who satisfied God in every way. And if you trust Him right today as your own personal Savior, you'll know present peace and joy and satisfaction. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you'll be able to say, thank God, He is an able Savior, for He has saved me. If you are interested in knowing where you are going to spend eternity, and if you desire further spiritual help, we are at your service, and we long to help you in any way possible. Meantime, trust Christ with that soul of yours, and you will be brought into the light and liberty of the sons of God. Drop us a line, care of the station to which you're listening, or to Evangelist John A. Horn, 817 South 7th Street, Atchison, Kansas.